Hello, this is Philippe Robert. I'm leading the client relations at the Cosnac practice. Here we are reinventing the experience of care. Today we have the pleasure to welcome Melissa Nobile. Melissa is a psychologist here at the Cosnac practice.
Hello.
Hello, Melissa. So we want to talk today about the increasing cases of agoraphobia related to the COVID-19 pandemic. We've actually drilled down into this topic because the figures around the globe indicate an increase in cases of agoraphobia across age groups brought on by the pandemic. According to the University of Oxford survey, as many as 1 in 5 primary age children are afraid to leave their homes. The poll indicates that more than half of younger children, 53% actually, are worried about family and friends catching the disease. How common, Melissa, is agoraphobia in young people, and what signs should one look out for in those that may be suffering this?
So agoraphobia is actually equally common in children, adolescents, and adults. So we don't see a huge difference across the spectrum of ages, at least not in the past few years. Agoraphobia falls under the category of anxiety disorders, and it involves an extreme and irrational fear of not being able to escape a certain situation if they were to develop panic-like symptoms. And that's the last part of the sentence. People usually don't know about agoraphobia. So someone with agoraphobia will, for example, be very afraid that if they go to the mall and they start experiencing panic-like symptom, which in an ironic twist, if they're afraid of them developing, they're likely to develop them, they'll be scared of not being able to go somewhere safe. And they'll have this belief that these panic-like, so panic attack-like symptoms are dangerous, which is absolutely wrong. Nothing can happen in a panic attack. It's actually a sign that your body's functioning very well and getting you ready to fight or flight, but at the wrong time. So that defines someone with agoraphobia. And signs to look out for would be someone who usually, if not always, had a first panic attack in a certain place. It can be at the restaurant, in the mall, even with family, wherever it is. And then as a result, they don't want to go back in that place. That's how it starts. But very quickly, the signs you'll see is someone who then what we call generalize that behavior. So they'll not only be scared of going in restaurants, but a week later, they don't want to go in somewhere that has a roof and is a closed space. And over the course of 2-3 weeks, they'll be just trapped in their own house. So that's what agoraphobia looks like.
Similarly, a recent YouGov survey revealed that 46% of the Brits were fearful about sitting in a barber's chair or shopping for clothes once lockdown was over, while just under 60% said that going back to restaurants and coffee shops would make them, quote, uncomfortable. Gyms and pubs and bars fared even worse on the survey, with as little as 60% of respondents saying that both pints and pull-up bars were going to be off the agenda for a while. How do you, these figures show really how far-reaching the effect of pandemic, with most age groups being hit. So could you explain the reasons behind these views that we're observing here?
Yeah, so I actually read this article before this podcast to prepare a little. And what's interesting is that it described it, the questions that were being asked in this survey to people is, will you be uncomfortable going back to a restaurant, a bar, a club, etc.? And if you remember the definition I gave of agoraphobia before, it was an irrational fear. Agoraphobia is this irrational fear that if my heart starts to beat quite quickly or I get a little bit dizzy, then I'm going to die. It's a panic attack. And so I can't go there because I might die, etc. In this article and the example you gave, for me, we're really not in something that's actually on the agoraphobia, where it's individual who simply are afraid of going back in certain contexts because they're scared of catching the virus, but there's nothing related to panic-like symptoms in this survey again. So two very different processes. One, it's rational avoidance, a personal decision, I would say, of avoiding certain contexts without any fear of having panic attacks if they go there, simply afraid of catching the virus. And an agoraphobic person, they wouldn't go there because they're terrified of having a panic attack and maybe not even care about catching coronavirus.
So we have been bombarded with official messages like stay at home and avoid contact with others. And so these pronouncements and in the enforcement of social distancing only increases the feelings of isolation and agoraphobia. So how long term do you think this problem is, and how do you think this issue would just naturally solve itself as vaccines roll out and this kind of messaging disappears?
So the first thing I would say is isolation and agoraphobia can be two different things. Isolation really is this experience of being cut off from other people, experiences, etc., which we pretty much all experienced during the pandemic. And agoraphobia, it's not so much about being isolated, it's about avoiding a certain place and then as a consequence ending up isolated. That being said, it's true that these messages of the world is basically dangerous right now, stay in, etc., for some individuals who also have what we call in psychology are the risk factors. So maybe they have a certain type of personality, certain things going on at home, other social, biological, cultural factors, additionally to living through a pandemic, will develop agoraphobia. And the more they stay in, the harder it is to get back out. And some individuals who had symptoms, early signs of agoraphobia, so maybe had a few panic attacks, but weren't yet completely avoiding situations. And then the COVID and the lockdown happened. They went back home and for months they couldn't re-expose themselves to what made them afraid. By the time the lockdown was over, for them it was terrifying to go back out. Mm-hmm. Because so long had gone by, so much time had gone by without them being able to re-expose themselves to those situations. So it's a very complex interaction, to answer your question.
And according to the National Institute of Mental Health, 1.3% of adults in the United States experience agoraphobia at some point in their lifetime. And this is likely to increase due to the pandemic. In the UK, for instance, a call to mental health charities such as the SANE and the Anxiety UK have increased by 200% during the lockdown. Residents in tower blocks are particularly at risk of agoraphobia during the lockdown, according to the mental health charity SANE. In this perspective, how should individuals and families who are worried about loved ones know when it is time to seek help, in your opinion?
With agoraphobia, I would urge families to encourage a loved one to seek help very early on, because it's one of those difficulties that just in the space of weeks, as I said a little earlier, can go from being afraid to go into Starbucks to being afraid to leave their bed. This is actually a common experience. So from the moment your loved one had even... So if, as I said, there's a very strong link between agoraphobia and panic attack. If someone had a panic attack... Lots of people have panic attacks and it doesn't lead them to avoid situations. But for those people who had a panic attack, associate it to a situation and start to avoid it, at that time I'd already seek help very early on so that the brain doesn't generalize, okay, I need to avoid this situation, so now I'm also going to avoid this situation and before it becomes completely out of control. So early on, and it's a matter of a few sessions for things to already get a lot better.
I really think we've covered this topic very much in depth. We were today discussing the agoraphobia in cases of the COVID-19 pandemics. We were today with Melissa Nobile, our psychologist. Melissa, thank you very much for answering these questions today.
Thank you for having me.
And looking forward to having you in our next session. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.